Good afternoon. How is everyone? Tired yet? Me too. Man, it's been a couple weeks. My name's Drew Robbins, first of all. I work for Microsoft. I'm a technical evangelist. If you're at the keynote, you probably saw me. This light is really bright. I like to see people, and I can't see anybody. But the last several weeks, my team, the technical evangelists, have been working so hard to pull together this event for you. And so we were in the speaker room just passing out earlier today. And how many people enjoyed the keynote this morning? It was really exciting. It was really exciting for us to have Satya come. It also adds an additional level of stress. But it was really great to have him here. And then to have Googs also come and speak. We call him Googs, Steve Guggenheimer. But we had some great demos that we worked on. And it struck me as I was preparing for this session, I think we want to be on PowerPoint. Are we on PowerPoint? Do you have the... Sorry. So anyway, I can keep talking, but so it struck me that over the last few weeks, I love to code. How many people love to code? I love it. It's not my job to code. I love to code, and I'm glad it's also my job. I love it. And so the last few weeks, I've been able to get my hands on writing a Node.js application. I helped Tokurta-san write her Office application. I helped write the augmented reality, the Tokyo Tower thing with a pen. And so that was a little bit of UWP and a little bit of Unity. And I got to help write the Xamarin Bridgestone application as well. And so all these different applications. And it struck me as so cool because I wrote them all in Visual Studio, right? There were some other tools involved, but the main part of it was in Visual Studio. And it just struck me as you can do so many things now with Visual Studio. You can build so many types of applications. And so that's what we get to talk about today. I'm sorry, I'm still getting my some stuff together here. But so there's so many things that you could build, and what we're going to talk about today is what's the next thing for Visual Studio? So this exciting tool. I love the tool. I love the code in Visual Studio. So what's next? And it starts with the Visual Studio team. I've known a lot of people on the Visual Studio team for a long time. I have been in Japan for 2 years, but before that, I was in Redmond for 7 years and was a Visual Studio evangelist there. And so got to know the team very, very closely. And I happen to know that they're all very passionate about coding and about Visual Studio. And they're very passionate about customers and how they can make their customers, which are developers, how can they make them happy? That's what they talk about a lot, is when Visual Studio opens up, do customers smile? Or do they go, oh my God, it's Visual Studio? Their goal is that people open up Visual Studio and they smile and they love it. And so they have kind of three different things they think about when they think about a great Visual Studio. One is they want to make sure it's powerful. It needs to do the things that developers need it to do and do it quickly and do it in a way that allows you to take some crazy idea you have in your head. I want to put Tokyo Tower hologram, or I want to have this 1,000 node mesosphere demo with a heart. Crazy ideas, they want to make sure that you can get that stuff done in Visual Studio. It's got to be powerful. But they also know developers. We have our favorite tools. We have our favorite ways to build. We have our favorite libraries, and we want to make sure that all of those can be used as well. Otherwise, we won't be happy with Visual Studio. And so they want to make sure it's very open, that it can be extended, that it can work with lots of different platforms, libraries, and tools. And of course, probably the most important thing is that it's productive. There's nothing worse than when you have that, you're in the zone, right? You've got your beer. There's no beer. If we could fix that, that would be good. You got your beer and you're coding, and you're in the zone, and all of a sudden Visual Studio like just goes white, right? Or your tool just crashes, and you're out of the zone, and now it's hard to get back into coding, right? And so the tool has to be productive. It has to work with you and help you. And so those are the things that they think about when they think about what are we going to bring next for Visual Studio? Is we've got to have it be powerful, it's got to be open, and it's got to be productive. And so that brings then us to the Visual Studio family. And if you go to any Visual Studio session, you'll see these three products come up. And the first one is Visual Studio. That's the tool that we've known for a long time, that we love, that is got every feature that we would ever need as a developer. It's the big tool that we've been using for a long time. Then we have the middle one, which is Visual Studio Code. And Visual Studio Code, how many people have tried Visual Studio Code? Very good, very good. I use it constantly as well. And Visual Studio Code is our lightweight, open source tool for when you just want to get into code and get back out very quickly. It is kind of in between a text editor and a full-featured tool like Visual Studio. It's a tool that really is lightweight for developers that want that type of experience. And honestly, sometimes I want the full experience, and sometimes I want that lightweight experience. So I keep both installed on my computer. And then the third area is Visual Studio Team Services. And this is for you as a developer that needs to work with other developers to have a place that you can share not only code, but share processes, share deployment scripts, configure things like continuous integration and continuous deployment. You saw VSTS kick off our Mesosphere, HashiCorp, Jenkins process this morning. It was the thing that was pulling in from GitHub. And all these tools working together are there to just make you as an individual and you as a team the most productive developers on the planet. And so we're going to talk today primarily around that first one, Visual Studio. And we've seen a lot of momentum for Visual Studio recently. With Visual Studio 2015, since that's been released, we've seen 12.7 million downloads worldwide, which is just massive. So many users of Visual Studio. But at the same time, we've seen an explosion in people building extensions for Visual Studio, with 6,000 extensions available in the gallery that just make it easier for you to add on the things that you need to Visual Studio for your particular product. And customers have responded to that as well. We've got over 950,000 downloads of those extensions. And so those are in very high demand now. But what about the new Visual Studio? These are the areas, kind of the areas that they're looking at. The first area is around the acquisition experience. If you install Visual Studio 2015 today, I think the last time I installed it, I started it before my lunch break so that I could go on one hour lunch break and come back and just check on it. And then I knew I'd have a meeting after that so I could come back later and check on it again. It takes a long time to install Visual Studio today. So one of the areas that they're really focused on right now is in this new acquisition experience. And so what they're trying to do is make it a much smaller install, lightweight, base install of 250 megabytes instead of, I think it's the base install right now for Visual Studio is about a gig, 1 gigabyte if you select the defaults. fast, and so instead of 1 or 2 hours, they're getting it down to less than 180 seconds on average. And then optimized, installing only what you need. And so a lot of times when you install Visual Studio, you get a lot of things that maybe you won't use as a developer. But the new one will allow you to install what you need. And then low impact and isolated. The other thing about Visual Studio in the past has been it's really changed a lot of things on your machine as it installs. And so removing Visual Studio or trying to isolate it from other applications is somewhat difficult because it updates the registry and it updates files on the system directory and it updates the global assembly cache. And so those things all have to be cleaned up if you want to uninstall Visual Studio or simply isolate it from the rest of the system. So the new one is isolated. And I've got the URL here, aka.ms, VS Next. And I'm just going to switch over to my machine then, which just beat me to going to sleep. Okay. And what I'm going to do is just bring up a VM, which does not have Visual Studio installed. And so here I am at that URL to install Visual Studio, and we're just going to install it. And again, you would never imagine that I don't have network access. Okay. That's convenient. Give me just a second. So it does help to have your network turned on correctly. So we're going to go here, and we're just going to set this up. Switch my network adapter to Ethernet, and now we're going to be good to go. Good to go. No discovery. Come on. All right. Now it downloaded. So this is the new lightweight installer. Easy to download, quick to download. It's already running. I'm just going to click one button, say install. And what that's going to do is just install the core experience of Visual Studio. And the core experience, again, is less than 250 megabytes. It's going to have an editor. And so it's going to have the things that you need to start develop. But it's not going to have things like the UWP platform. It's not going to have things like the Azure toolkit for building against the cloud. All of those things have now been separated off into other workloads. And let's let that run for just a second. I'm hoping it's going to install in 180 seconds on a VM as well. But you can never imagine that I would take the full Visual Studio and try to install it in front of an audience before. It would just take, we'd be here for 2 hours on the first demo. And so this one's going to install pretty quick. In fact, let's go. I wish I could show both at the same time. Let's do this. I'll try one more time there. Okay. And then we'll put this up over here and just watch that for a little bit. I think it might take a little bit longer on a VM to install. So we'll just keep that up. So the other thing, when we install the core experience, and I'll launch it and show you, one of the areas besides the new acquisition experience that they're really focused in on is making sure that Visual Studio is a tool that every developer can use. And I talked about some of the projects that I've been working on with Visual Studio over the last few weeks, but they really want to keep on expanding that further and further. And there's a couple different ways to think about how they're opening that up. One is they want to make sure that Visual Studio can build for all platforms, whether it's Windows, Linux apps, iOS apps, or Android apps. I have that one over here. And so you're seeing a lot of tooling now being added to Visual Studio, which targets these other platforms. This morning you saw the Xamarin tools that Inoue-san showed, and he showed how you can now design right in Visual Studio using native iOS controls, building an iOS app. There was another project in here he didn't show, which was the Android app version of that application. And of course, you have the Windows application. Just recently, we released a tool set for building and debugging against Linux as well. And I'll show you that in a little bit in a demo. So platforms, we want to make sure that any developer can use Visual Studio to build for any platform. And then also, on the language and frameworks front, we want to continue to expand that. And you've seen an explosion of languages and platforms that are now supported by Visual Studio over the last couple generations. That's taken a little bit longer today in a virtual machine. And so we have .NET, C++, JavaScript, PHP, Ruby support. We've been adding more and more support for Node.js. We've got Cordova for building client-side HTML applications. We just recently acquired R and built that into Visual Studio as well. And so you're seeing more and more of these frameworks and languages be supported inside of Visual Studio, which is really great for developers. And that's really come from this guy. We heard from him this morning, and I hope you kind of felt his passion for developers this morning and his passion for making sure that everybody, he always says everybody on the planet, and he really means everybody on the planet, we want to impact them and help them achieve more. And so he's really turned the company around to where we're not only kind of embracing and open sourcing our software, but we're really making sure an entire ecosystem of open source software and Linux included is successful. One of our premier sponsors this week, I don't know if you noticed, is Red Hat, right here sponsoring this conference. They also sponsored the Build conference in San Francisco. And that blew my mind, just because just a few years ago, if we called Red Hat, the phone would just keep ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing, right? They'd see that it was a call from Microsoft and they would not answer. But now this change that for Microsoft has meant that even Red Hat now is partnering with us and saying, hey, how can we make each other successful? How can we make sure that developers can use both Microsoft products and Red Hat products to create amazing solutions? And so it's been a really, really great change for both us and for you as customers. And so along that any developer, any app, let me just check in one more time, and if that's not there yet. So the VM is running a little bit slow right now. So let me actually just bring up a different instance of Visual Studio that I installed earlier. And so you'll notice, actually, talking to the isolation, I have over here on the right side of my screen four different editions, maybe, of Visual Studio. One is Visual Studio Code. That's been isolated since it was released. No big deal. Visual Studio 2015, it's hard to get multiple versions of Visual Studio, the full product, on a machine all at once. But you could do side-by-side 2015 and 2013. But the more interesting thing here is for Visual Studio 15, I actually have two side-by-side installations as well. I have what's called the classic install of Enterprise Visual Studio 15. This is more like the Visual Studio 2015 install. And then I also have the lightweight install. And that's the one that I'm trying to install into the virtual machine right now. This is the one that will install very quickly if you're on your core machine. And so if I launch that one, and I've already added some packages to this one, but if I launch that, And by habit, I hit open project because that's what I always do is open a project. But there's what I really wanted to do is there's a new feature now in Visual Studio where it can now open a folder and open a folder as really a first-class project. And so I want to open a full folder here. And I'm going to open this folder called Haikunator. I'm sure you are very familiar with haikus, being the Japanese audience. And so this Haikunator is from the Ruby Heroku world, where it just generates some words for you. It doesn't actually generate haikus, it just generates some random words. And so it's been kind of replicated in many different languages, and so we're going to use it today just as an example. Because right here within this one folder, I have three different projects. One is Haikunator Go, one is Haikunator PHP, and the other one is Ruby. So if I open up the Go, you'll notice I have syntax highlighting here for Go. And this is actually, with the core experience, it installs syntax highlighting and even some code completion for several different languages, including in this case, Go. And so you can see I can get really nice syntax highlighting for the Go language. If I jump down here to Ruby, I also get syntax highlighting for Ruby. And in fact, it wasn't working earlier today. I'm going to try it. Still not working. I'm going to try this in the VM when it installs. But you do get code completion with Ruby as well. But I think I went and did something to my install since it's a little earlier build. But you will get code completion for Ruby as well. And then in addition, because it kind of understands the syntax and it also understands the kind of code completion, it can do other things in Visual Studio as well. For example, if I hit Control Comma and I type Haikunate, it'll search and it's going to find two different Haikunate symbols. One is in the Ruby file and the other one is in the Go file. And so now that lets me go and navigate directly to that symbol. And so it's really nice and powerful, even though it's just the core experience for Visual Studio. So another thing that shows the kind of the cross-platform support is if I go to another folder, and this one's going to be PY for Python. Oh, I did open project again, didn't I? Habits. So we're going to open up this Python folder. And so again, just like Go and PHP and Ruby, I get syntax highlighting here for Python. And in addition to Python, I can actually run and debug this as well. And so we're starting to bring in more even debugging tools and runtime tools into Visual Studio, and in this case, Python. So the first thing I need to do for this, though, is this Haikunator Python library is just a library. It doesn't have a startup file. So the first thing we're going to do is create a startup file. And that startup file is going to import the Haikunator library. And then we're going to just run the Haikunate dot Haikunate. And then we're just going to print the name out to the console. Okay. And that should work. I think I typed it right. I don't know why I'm getting the green squiggly. We'll find out in a second. And then the other thing we just need to do, this will actually be fixed in the final release, but if you download Visual Studio lightweight install and install the Python tooling today, you have to go in and tell it what engine to use to start your Python script. And so in this case, I've got Python 2.7. And it's going to be python.exe, okay? And if that all works, then the thing that we can do is we can even go into the Hykinator library. And there's our Hykinate method. Just go down here. I already have a breakpoint set, so we're going to hit run. Oh, we're going to select the startup item, current document. Nope. What happened to? I've got my startup.py. Interesting. Okay, play it. Missing launch configuration, open Python interpreter. Oh, No one caught that and yelled out. You're supposed to yell out when I do something really dumb. That was really dumb. Because I might have some free t-shirts under here. If you yelled out and told, no, I don't have any free t-shirts, sorry. Okay, let's try this one more time. Did I spell it wrong now? Python interpreter. Come on. Oh. Did it work? And I got my debug point as well. Yes, all right. Woo. Now I wrote a Python script as well. See, I'm writing so many apps lately. I love to code. This is great. So anyway, point is now we have this kind of syntax highlighting. We've got code completion. We've got even debug support here for Python. And you're going to see these languages expand and expand. The team really wants to add your favorite language to Visual Studio and make sure that it supports it as well. It's not just about C# and VB and .NET anymore, even though we still love .NET. It's about all the languages that all developers use. Okay? So let's check in. Oh, man, it's really slow on a VM. I should have picked a faster VM. I apologize. So I didn't think that was going to be that slow. Okay, so we'll come back to that. That'll work, I'm sure, eventually. Let's see. Talked about Satya, any app, any developer. And so there's four different areas that the development team thinks about how to improve your life. Obviously, the editing experience is critical. And so having great editing tools, syntax highlighting, code completion, all those things are super critical. Compiling your code is also an area that's really important. And the team is continuing to look to optimize the compilers themselves, but they're also building more and more features into Visual Studio that allow you to take your code out to the cloud and compile it out there. And so you'll see more and more things there that make just the compilation process for you a lot faster. Testing your code, there's several different areas. We'll look at a few. One is, of course, we've got great tools for both testing on your machine, building tests, and also running your tests in the cloud through your continuous integration process. But another area they're improving is just the ability to have a REPL for C#, especially. Bringing in other languages as well, but C# is a language that has had an interactive console that you could just type in code and evaluate it and have it run and get the result. And so now they're building a REPL into Visual Studio. We'll look at that in just a minute. And then diagnosing, finding the problems with your code is another area that they're really trying to make sure that they improve for you. It's nothing worse than having just one of those bugs that you just can't find, because maybe it's in a library that you don't own the code for, or maybe it's some kind of string that's out of place. And so diagnosis, whether it's performance or coding bugs, that's another area that the team is really trying to invest and make much better. And so let's look at productivity a little bit. Let's look at compile and debug first, because this is a cool demo. I'm sure it will work. I'm sure you all are confident that this demo is going to work, right? You're all on my side, right? So what do I have here? Anyone know? Anyone recognize? Ubuntu? Does anyone use Ubuntu? Must be people that use Ubuntu, of course. So this is Ubuntu. This is just in a virtual machine. It's not the bash shell that we showed this morning. That is actually in Windows, a first-class citizen of Windows, the bash shell, which is also based on Ubuntu. It's actually an install of Ubuntu that runs inside the Visual Studio kernel. It's really weird to think about, but that's what's happening. This is different. This is just a virtual machine. We've had these for a long time. And so what I want to do is I want to build an application for Ubuntu. And so in the past, what I would do is, of course, I'd have my VM, I'd install all the developer tools in my VM, and I would live in my VM, or I would just install Ubuntu on my machine, and I would build it all there. But now what I want to do is I want to take Visual Studio on Windows, and I want to build an application for Ubuntu in my VM. And so let's do that. For this, I'm actually going to go back to Visual Studio 2015, because the extension that is available today, you could do this today yourself if you want to, installs into 2015 today. But it will be a component that you can add on to Visual Studio 15 in its final release. And so if I go in here and I've got a little OpenGL, I'll open that up, but I want to show you too the file new experience here. So when you install this extension, and you say new project, you will see under C++, cross-platform, you'll see a new Linux directory. And under this Linux, you have a couple different projects. You have the second and third one is console application, an empty project. But you also have a nice Blink Raspberry Pi project, too. If you want to go and target Raspberry Pi, you have that ability to Raspberry Pi, I should say, sorry. If you want to go target Raspberry Pi, you can do that from Visual Studio as well. So it's really great flexibility there. So I have, though, a project here that is an OpenGL project that just draws a cube. If you search for cube.cpp or cube.c, you'll find maybe thousands of examples of cubes on the internet, and you can download one as well and run it. And so what's going to happen is I have X64, I have this thing, the remote GDP debugger. That's the extension that you want to look for, install. There's a few dependencies that you'll install in your Linux VM, like there's a GDB server, and you have to have SSH and things like that. But once you have those things, then you can go ahead and build and remote debug. And I already set up the IP earlier, so the dialogue's not going to come up. But I was wondering if I could quickly... Debugging. No, I'm probably not going to find it. So I'm going to hit play. Normally what will happen is if you haven't run this yet, then it'll pop up and say, give me the host name, give me the username and the password, and a few other options on how you want the debug session to run. But let's put this over here. And we'll put my VM over here. And then maybe we should set a breakpoint, like right randomly, like in the middle somewhere. And then we'll hit play, which is now hidden. Come on, there we go. All right, here we go. Let's see if this works. Cross your fingers. It's gonna work, it's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be almost as great as Vuforia augmented reality. Here it goes. And we're at my breakpoint, you see that? So now I'm connected, I'm debugging on the right side to an app that you can see has started, but we're in a debug point, on the Ubuntu VM. So then if I go ahead and continue, just hit F5 to continue here. Now, let me get rid of my breakpoint, because I want to see it spin as well. And so now, isn't that cool? We've got Visual Studio building a Linux application running on my Ubuntu and debugging it from remote. And so it's pretty powerful. And those, again, just goes back to these are the experiences, these are the things that thematically or kind of generally the development team wants to enable, not only for this, but for all developers, right? And so you're going to see more and more of these come online over time. It's a completely different direction than even a few years ago, where Visual Studio was really meant to build for Windows or Windows on Azure or sometimes an Office app, right? Now it's meant for everything, and you're going to see more and more things get added. It's actually really excited. So while we're here, though, let's just check one more time on our 180-second install. Oh, so now it installed, and now I have the Visual Studio Core Editor. Good. So this is now the acquisition experience. So what? When you first download, you click install, you get the Visual Studio Core Editor. And then there's going to be these packages that you can add on functionality. And today what they have is Unity development, C++, Python, .NET desktop development. This is early. This is a completely new thing for the Visual Studio team. So they don't have everything here yet. But they're going to move to this acquisition experience by the time Visual Studio 15 gets released. And so we have one more install. So it looks like I was just installing the installer. So we click that install then, and then that's going to install the core editor, and we're going to come back to that in just a second. Okay. So productivity. Productivity is just giving you all the different tools you need on two different layers. One is making sure you're a really fast developer, that the tool is not getting in your way, that you can spit out code and functionality very quickly, that you can get it committed into your team repo very quickly from within the tool, and then also that you have enough help within the tool set that people are keeping code consistent. There's nothing worse than you check in a bunch of code, or you merge your code together, and then you look at the other developer's code, and you're like, why did he do that? Why are all of my variables camel case, and all of his are Pascal case? It just looks horrible, right? And so then you spend a bunch of time fixing that instead of writing new code. And so another area is we're trying to build in more guidance and more rules for your team to be able to follow in order to have more consistent code. And so that's what we want to look at next. Okay. And so I'm going to switch over, back over to Enterprise. Okay, and then I want to open another Hikunator project. This one is a project. And it's going to be here, hikunator.net. And this one will be C sharp. Okay. So let's open up Hikunate tests here. And we're going to scroll down a little bit. Looks like we have This was working before. Restore NuGet packages. Okay, so now we're back. So down in this test, let's go and just mess one up here. And say somebody merged in a change, and they did this horrible thing where everything else is in Pascal case, and they're like, you know what, forget Pascal case, I'm going to go camel case. What we can do is, if we want to avoid that in the future, we can now go to Tools Options, and we can go to Text Editor and C#, and there's this new code style. And code style will let you set up rules for a project, a solution, for a team that will prevent them from doing things like this. And so in this case, it's a naming rule. So I can add a new naming rule, and I can say Pascal case only symbols. I want to do properties and methods. If you want to add more, you can really get specific on which things that you want to apply which rules to, whether public or private, what types of symbols they are, any modifiers. You can get really specific. We're just going to do properties and methods, and we want Pascal case. And then what you can do is you can choose the severity. You can make it just information. It's nice to know. You can make it a warning. Or if you really want to make sure developers don't mess this up, you can make it an error. And now, I go back to here. Now I've got a reg squiggly, and I'll have a build failure if I try to build, because I've got this error in the code. Actually, the build succeeded, but I've got my error. And so the idea is, though, is that the build will fail. And then what I can do is I can hit the little light bulb that allows me to fix that error, and it'll tell me what thing it needs to change. It'll tell me what rule I violated, what thing will change. I can go ahead and preview those changes, and I can see that it's going to rename that so that it has a capital, and I can apply that, and now my error goes away. And so code styling rules can be really powerful here. Another one that often upsets people is this one, right? Sometimes people will sometimes they'll put the ampersand on the, or the squiggly on the next line. Sometimes they'll put it on the same line. And worse yet, sometimes they'll put it all on the same line, right? And really messing up the kind of the code style in an app. So this is another one. You can go to Tools, Options, Code Style. In this case, I believe we want formatting. Place open brace on new lines for methods. I'm going to hit OK. And what this is going to do is just make sure that when I'm creating a new method, and I hit Enter, it's going to reformat that for me. And so it just, again, not bothering the developer so much this time, but just building in a little behavioral rule that'll make sure that that squiggly ends up on the next line. The bracket there. How are we doing on this? Nothing. Okay. So another one then another one that's really common is if we go to, let's just go to the class level here. So we have this thing, Hikinator. Do we want this to be this.hikinator or just Hikinator? We can choose that as well. Sometimes you'll see someone that just feels like everything has to be this dot, this dot, this dot, this dot, right? And maybe you don't like that. And so Tools, Options, and we're going to go to General. Oops, Code Style General. And here we have a whole list of whether to qualify these things with this or not. And so if I say on this case we have a field, And I want to say prefer this or do not prefer this. So in this case, well, it's do not prefer this. If I said prefer this, I'm not getting the error on that from before. Let's do this. So the error is not coming up, but the light bulb is, and it's saying, hey, in this case, there's a code style rule that says, I prefer to have this on a field access. So again, preview changes, I can go ahead and apply those. And then another really good one is, you'll often see, is some people like to do string equals new string, and some people like to do, well, give it that. And then some people like to do just a var. And people get kind of religious about some of this, right? Which one's the right style? Of course, everyone wants to name their variables uniquely. Sometimes you want to have strings, sometimes you want to have var. And so another one you can do is tools, options, and going to, was it general? Scrolling down. So you can pick based on for built-in types or when variable type is apparent or elsewhere. You can say I prefer var or prefer explicit type, and then you can set these to errors as well. And so you can really start putting some control around this. And then, yeah, so now the string says, hey, there's an error here, and use var instead of explicit type. We can preview that change, and we can go ahead and apply that change. And you can, some of these changes too, you can go and said, you know what, I just want to go fix everything in the entire project, and you can get them all cleaned up really quickly. So code styling will help you get more consistent code with your developers. It will be more productive with that consistent code. And then really, these helpers are going to help them just get their code written in a clean way very quickly. Okay, so let me switch back here. So commit. Another area that the team really wants to make sure is a solid feature set for you or set of capabilities is in committing your code back to source control. And we've had integrated source control with Visual Studio for a while, especially with like TFS even some Git integration. Git actually tends to be the most popular now for Visual Studio users. I can't remember the percentage, but more users are now using Git than are using the TFS protocol, which isn't surprising. It's a really popular protocol now. But what we really want to do is make sure that the experience in Visual Studio for not only Git, but also the popular service GitHub is first class and is well integrated. And so you're seeing a lot of improvements there as well. And so if I just switch back, and I think what I'm going to do is just take my current project. And you'll notice down here, there's a publish. This bar down here is kind of reserved now for all of the different actions around source control and committing. And when I hit publish, let's get rid of properties, you'll see I have team services. I also have GitHub, and I could do other remote repositories as well. If I do GitHub, I've already previously logged in, and so it's showing me that I have my Druby account here. I also have another account that's for Microsoft. And what I can do is say, do I want to create a new repository, and I can make it private if I want, and I'll click publish. And that's actually going to go out to GitHub and create that repository for me. And so you can see it's got my URL there for that new repository. And then what happens is you can see I have zero changes right now and zero things to publish. And so let's just go ahead and make a change. I'll get rid of this code since it's got red squigglies. It must go. Now I have a change. I can go ahead and commit that. Removed bad code. Commit all. And now you see down here that I've got the ability to publish right here as well. And I can go ahead and push that change. In addition to just kind of committing and pushing on that branch, there's also a branch selector here. And so I have full capability right here within Visual Studio to create branches, to manage and merge branches. And so here we can just create a new test feature branch, and we'll create that branch. And then we can come over here and just say we have a test, and it's going to be public void test something. And we'll do that. And now we can commit that change, new test, commit, and we'll push that out as well. And the nice thing here is I've done it all within Visual Studio, right where I'm being productive, without even having to go visit the GitHub website yet. And I haven't had to drop down to the command prompt to do the kind of command line tools. So if I go to my account now and Druby, github.com, I have a new repository, hackinator.net. And in here, I've got my two branches, new test feature. And then I can work from up here as well, managing pull requests. We're going to get to the point where even the pull request functionality will be inside Visual Studio as well. But the idea is you're going to have a completely rich, first-class experience right in Visual Studio to work with one of the most popular source control repositories, GitHub. And so that's another area that they're really trying to improve for you. Okay, so it doesn't end there yet. And actually, while I'm talking, I'm going to check my VM. Still not there. Okay, so the story does not end here, though. We've got all of these improvements that are coming with Visual Studio 15 preview, the new acquisition experience, all these new productivity features. But we want it to be the tool that everybody in this room loves, everybody in this building loves, every developer in the world loves. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is if you speak up and give us your feedback. And so we talked about this at Build, and we wanted to talk about it here as well, because we really want to encourage developers to give us feedback. And there's two ways for you to do that. One way is inside Visual Studio. And the other way is to do it through some of the traditional ways, like taking surveys or going to forums or just tweeting your issue on Twitter. The nice thing about the inside Visual Studio one is you're right within the product. You just had some issue with the product, and you're right there, so you can immediately go and report the problem. And when you do this, if I go back to here, you can see I want to report this problem, which is my VM. If we go here, and we just say, I want to report a problem. You can see you can go ahead and describe your experience. You can say maybe it's a performance issue. You can search. Well, so you can search for an existing issue. Apparently, if I were to have a performance issue, I'd be the first one to have a performance issue because that issue doesn't exist. But let's pick another one. I'll just pick this word here that's in the first one. And so you can kind of search for your issue and see if someone else has reported it and then vote that one up, or you can go ahead and create a new issue. And when you create a new issue, you can describe it in detail, you can edit screenshots or attach files, and you can even record your actions to reproduce the issue. And so you can go through and say, hey, here's the exact thing that I did in order to cause it to crash or to cause it to have some weird bug. And so we really want to encourage you on two levels then, is make sure you're reporting bugs to us for sure, report problems, but then also report your suggestions. And so there's another box there, provide a suggestion. And so if you have a feature idea or something that would really help you, let us know, because there's a good chance Visual Studio team is going to take that seriously and put it in the product for you. So this is a screenshot of what I just showed. And so that is the future of Visual Studio. We've got the lightweight install optimized for your dev needs. We really want to make sure that Visual Studio, it will suit any developer and any app, regardless of the platform or tool set you want to use. We want to make sure it's super productive for you so that you can get things done faster and really enjoy the experience. And then we always want to make sure it's improving with your feedback. But like I said at the beginning, the primary thing we want to make sure happens is when you open up Visual Studio, you smile and know that you're in a happy place, that you can start writing some great code and enjoy the experience. So please do go and download Visual Studio 15. If you do it outside of a VM, it will download and install very quickly, I promise. So try it. Try that new install experience. Try also the Enterprise Edition. Give the Linux debugging a shot if you want to play around with that, or just play with some of your favorite other libraries and tools and platforms. Build some applications. So with that, I want to thank you for coming to this session and coming to Decode today. I know everybody's tired, including myself, at the end of the day, and so appreciate you staying to the end. I will move over to the Expo Hall. Please fill out your session evals, but I'm going to move over to the Ask the Speaker area near the Expo Hall. Room A is this room. And so you can ask me any questions about Visual Studio or anything else that you want to know about Microsoft. So thank you very much for coming to the session, and I hope you enjoyed, and have a good rest of your conference. Thank you very much. Arigato gozaimasu.